This is a Doc Talk podcast short with Dr. Jenna Burton and me, James Pikeaway.
Botox. Botox 101. What's going on with Botox? Who needs it? What do we use it for in the world of cosmetics? Is it expensive? How long does it last? What's the side effects? Give us the 101, Jenna.
You know, I feel like maybe you're the only person in the whole wide world that doesn't know the answers to these questions already, James.
In fact, I was sitting with my wife yesterday, and we were both asking, and you know, I wonder how much does Botox cost? I didn't even have a clue what the fee is for doing this.
Well, it varies. So it depends on what kind of brand you're going to use. So a good friend of mine, she's a bit of a bargain barrel hunter, and she won't mind me saying that. And she can get Botox, I don't know where, I don't know how, for about 1,200 dirhams for the year, unlimited Botox. Now,
wow.
I buy, like the clinics I work in, we buy the Botox for the first time round at around that price. So how she's getting unlimited Botox at that price, I don't know. I personally don't like side effects. I can't be bothered with things going wrong. It's too much of a hassle. I've got three children, busy life. No one wants that. So I only really use like the high-end brands.
Pause for a second. There are multiple grades of Botox?
Yes.
Sort of like you go to the Enoch Epco station or the Shell or the BP station, you can get the 94 level, the 93 level, the 90. So maybe, wow. How do you know if you're getting the good stuff?
Botox is a brand. So the word Botox, that is a brand by Allergan, which is one of the first people that ever came out, and they got their licensing to say that it's FDA approved that you can use both botulinum toxin from the Botox Allergan brand in between your eyes in the glabella region, right? But then since then, there's been lots of copycats because it's just, you know, Botox, as it were, is a botulinum toxin. So people can easily make botulinum toxins. Now, I'm sure if you speak to the manufacturers of the different types of products, they would say maybe we spend less on marketing, maybe we spend less on money here or on research and development, but the products are the same. As a practitioner, from a safety and ethical perspective, I like to use products that I'm aware of, that have been on the market for a while, that I just feel comfortable with. So I tend to use something called Dysport or Allergan Botox, and it sometimes depends on what the patient's looking for, their preference as to how tight a hold they want. But all of them, all in all, they would tend to last between 3 to 4 months. And they work in the same sort of way. It's just the level of confidence that you have with that product, really.
Okay. So when people are getting Botox, typically, you're saying sort of this area here, our crow's feet, those kind of places, that's where people are getting Botox on their face?
Yeah. So there's a number of places that you can actually Botox people. You can sort of do almost everywhere, to be honest, but you just have to be very careful. So each area comes with its own set of risk factors. So the most common area is here, so your frown lines. Then you've got the lines that like on your forehead and then around the eye region. You've also got the lines that are called bunny lines on your nose.
Oh, those are bunny lines. Okay. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Right. some people do that. I did it once to myself and I hated it because I felt like I couldn't smile properly.
I want to interrupt you again, because when you use Botox and have you got a little bit here and here, have you put a little bit on yourself there? It's like,
hey, of course, yeah. I mean, I have done ever since I've known you, James. Okay.
Is it,
when do you not remember this? There's been times that we've had an interaction and I've let somebody else do my Botox.
I do remember.
And on those times, I've just become like a statue because I like to move my eyebrows. I like to be able to smile. I like to have some lines around my eyes. I like to reduce, but not completely remove. But other practitioners are different. So whenever I've been to see a practitioner, I've not always liked it as much because I feel like I've become a statue.
Okay. All right. So
to go back very quickly, you've got to round up this one little bit. That's not the only places you can use Botox. You can use it around your lips for smoker's lines. You can use it down here because sometimes muscles become more pronounced in your lower face as well as you get older. I've used it on people's necks. I've used it around here to sort of thin out around the jawline, to kind of thin out the lower face. I've used it to help with migraines, sweating. I've used it to help people that have got bruxism, so they have like an overbite.
Okay.
And sometimes they get swellings here and TMJ problems. You can use it anywhere, really.
TMJ?
Temporomandibular joint.
Yikes.
Which is...
Okay. Yeah.
With your bite.
So there's a whole bunch of uses for Botox, and as you said with your own use, varying degrees of application. So it's not a one, you know, you got to just put as much in. And when it wears off, does it gradually wear off, or does it just go from being Botox to no-tox?
No, it goes from Botox to less tox.
Okay.
So it gradually wears off. You know, Botox, it's a medicinal product. So botulinum toxin A is a medicinal product that used to be used, and it still is used, for people that have often got cerebral palsies. And what they noticed, they started injecting around the eye for people that had eyes that turned inwards. So they had an overpronounced muscle that was maybe pulling the eye inwards or outwards. And so they used it to reduce the effect of that muscle to allow the person's eye to sit more centrally. And when they were injecting it, they noticed that there were less wrinkles around that region. And that's actually how they suddenly started to explore the use of botulinum toxins in anti-aging.
Wow, that's really interesting. As you said, there is a cost associated with it, and that becomes one of the challenges when people are using this product, because if it lasts 4 months at max, that can start to add up.
Yes. There's two different costs. There's the financial element, and it can be really difficult as a practitioner as well. I hate getting involved in finances, and I think that's the same with most clinicians. Like, just don't want to be involved.
Yeah.
And I find it very hard to see somebody struggling that really wants to do something and they just haven't got the money. There's no insurance for it. There's no NHS. It really is money in your own pocket. And, it's horrible if someone's struggling with the way that they look. And, you know, it's not like you can just sit and counsel them through it always. You can to an extent, but ultimately there's a desired look that they want. You can give it to them, but they can't afford it. So it's really challenging for them, and it can be hard to watch as well as a practitioner. When I had my own business in the UK, I mean, I never really broke even because I always had special offers for these people. And and then at the end of the month, I think, God, I really didn't make any money. I was sort of giving it out as like a bit of a freebie. But you know, there's other costs as well. Nothing comes for free, James. We say it every podcast. And the problem is over time, because you stop the muscle from being able to work. Basically, there's a muscle, there's a nerve, there's a receptor, so like a gap, and then there's the muscle. You stop the transport of information from the nerve to, say, contract to the muscle. So the muscle can't contract. And over time, the muscles start to atrophy. They get thin. They almost like die away a little bit. And that can leave ridges in the face. I've had bumps in the tops of my head as well, because the muscles basically start to die out. You can also develop antibodies to the botulinum toxin, which means it stops working eventually. You keep exposing yourself to botulinum toxin A, eventually the body gets sort of like, hang on, what's going on here? And it can start to make antibodies to stop it working. That's another. And the other is, if you freeze, and this is why I'm against freezing entirely, if you freeze part of your face, when you're trying to move, you will compensate in different areas. And when that happens, you then end up with more lines, maybe around here, maybe sort of around here, where you're trying to make that movement, but you compensate with different muscles instead. So you end up with wrinkle chases, we call them, which is where you have areas of absolutely no lines and then other areas that are heavily lined.
Wrinkle chasers. Okay, that's really cool. So, I mean, there's a lot to be thinking about. Do you need to be an MD to deal with Botox or botulism injections?
I don't think you need to be a medical doctor, no, especially not for the technique. And if you learn your anatomy and you know the product inside out and the placement inside out, you know, you could be anybody really, theoretically. The problems are when things go wrong. You know, I've had patients that have had seizures after Botox.
Yikes.
Yeah, they have had like undiagnosed epilepsy, more so for filler. Like, filler can go wrong much more easily than Botox. But it's, yeah, I I think there is a benefit to being a doctor. There is a benefit of being a nurse or whatever. We've learned how to counsel patients properly, manage their expectations. We've learned how to give them the side effects that they, that, you know, they can expect. We've learned how to deal with the side effects that can occur as a result of treatments. And I think it's maybe all a lot of the stuff around the injections themselves that we can offer. But the actual placement of the Botox, no, some of the best practitioners I've seen can be nursing staff because that's all they do every day, day in and day out. And, you know, of course they're going to be excellent at it because they're used to it and their training has been on the job training, which is, you know, better than anything really.
But they're still in the medical profession. They've still got that training as opposed to,